Great. So the title of my talk this morning is You Unravel Me with a Melody, You Surround Me with a Song. And this is all about God singing a song over you. But first of all, have you ever done that thing that Ed and I kind of do quite regularly when we're sitting listening to music and we go, what's your favourite song ever? And it's quite hard, and a few of us tried to do that last week in the garden after lunch, and it is a really difficult thing to do, isn't it? And so I go, all right, my top five. And the top five kind of rotates around a bit depending on the mood, but actually it's, I think my top five is my top five at the moment. So here is my top five, and, you know, go away and think about that. So Romeo and Juliet, Dire Straits. Yeah, good one. Telegraph Road, Dire Straits. Romeo and Juliet by Lou Reed, which is a bit of a strange one, but very good. Shine On You Crazy Diamond by Pink Floyd. And Romeo and Juliet by Taylor Swift. So a bit of a Romeo and Juliet theme going on, so don't know what that's. But actually, I think it's a really, really hard thing to do, to pick your five top songs or your top songs, because there's so many. And I know when we had our party last year for our wedding anniversary, the playlist that we created from Spotify was about 12 hours long. So, and they were all my favourite songs ever. So it's really hard. But what I've really realised is that songs are really powerful and can create really powerful memories of key events and holidays, relationships and all of those things. So I know that, so when we've had our American Disney holidays, there's been a song or a CD that has been our holiday CD, and that will always remind us of that moment in time. And even this week on Friday night, I was really blessed to spend an evening with my really close friends from work, and they introduced me to somebody that it turns out I was at school 28 years ago with, who's a really close friend of them, and I was thrilled to meet her after so long. But we did the thing, oh, remember when we used to make up dances when we were 12 to these songs? And it's really, really powerful, and it just creates all sorts of memories. But interestingly, and I've sort of like been thinking about this, you've probably seen actually in my top five there aren't actually any Christian songs. Ooh, bad. But I do have favourite ones, but again, that's really hard to do. And probably my two favourite Christian songs are, there's a song by Lara Martin called Voice of Hope. Some of you might know that song. And it talks about hope being the anchor for his soul, and that's one of my favourite scriptures, and I really love that song. And then probably another favourite, and again, I was sort of like looking through my list yesterday, was there's a kind of old hymn called I Stand Amazed. And the words of that are, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And I just love just the feel of that song, how it talks about the salvation of God. But what God has really been doing with me over probably the course of the last year is he's shown me that he sings a song over us at a specific time. And my testimony has really been about a song that's been sung over me over the last year, that where I needed to be reminded of my status in Christ. And this was all really because I needed to hear some things in a specific way, like I'd heard them for the first time. They weren't things that I'd forgotten or walked away from, but what God needed to do with me was take me almost back to basics so that I could move forward. Because if you remember going back to the beginning of the summer last year, we went through a time of really significant change, and because of what God needed to do in my life, I needed taking back to basics to get to grips with a few things. And what that was all about is because, and I won't go into too many details, but I'd got caught up in a bit of fear about stuff. All sorts of stupid things about, do I wear the right stuff? Do I shop in the right clothes? Am I doing the right thing in work? All of these kinds of things. And you wouldn't probably think that I worry about that stuff, because probably on the outside I can be quite confident and seem quite with it. But actually, underneath there were niggling fears about, you know, different things going on. And what I needed to be reminded about was that scripture in Galatians 5 and verse 1, where it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. I needed to be reminded about that actually my freedom comes from in Christ, not from whatever the world or whatever man might choose to speak over me. So what happened was God, I suppose, literally, in the kind of truest sense of the word, really properly unraveled me with a song. It was the first meeting, I think it was the first meeting of New Wine last year. And if you remember, Martin Smith was leading worship, and we sang that song, No Longer Slaves. And it just, well, it just cut me to the heart, you know, those words, no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. And it was really, really powerful, because what God was saying to me was, you know, you're no longer a slave to fear, you are a child of God. And that bit in the song where it says, you split the sea so I could walk right through it, my fears were drowned in perfect love, you rescued me, and I could stand and sing, I am a child of God. And it was really quite an emotional moment. And just one of those times where I just, you know, when you know that God is just doing that deep work inside your heart, and it just cut me right in there. And I thought, oh gosh, this is, and probably I hadn't realised that some of those fears, some of those things that concerned me were in there. But as soon as we sang that song, it just kind of brought it all to bear. And really, over the course of, I suppose, the last year, that song being sung over me has helped me through and to get me where I need to be. And also what this did was it really brought to memory a scripture that was given to me when I first became a Christian. And if you remember, I don't know whether I was in, it might have been in a home group, and we were talking about what God had done over the last year. And I'd expressed that this year had been really exciting on a number of levels because we were doing new things. And it almost felt like, for the first time, I was like a baby Christian, because things were new and they were exciting and I was discovering new things. So that thing about being taken back to basics, right back to the very heart of it, was for freedom that Christ has set us free. It took me back to this scripture that somebody had spoke over me when I first became a Christian. So I don't know whether anybody has read the book of Zephaniah recently, but it's a really cool little book, actually. And I think some of those smaller books of the Bible, they're really great because you can read them quite quickly, even though they're a bit, sometimes a bit complicated. But in the book of Zephaniah, it's quite a prophetic book. Zephaniah wrote it around 630 BC, very soon before the fall of Judah and the southern kingdom. And the purpose of the book was to show that God had raised up his prophet to proclaim a judgment, but also to encourage the people to repentance. People were living very wicked lives, and you know, the prophets at that time were sent to declare the judgment of the Lord. So in the first couple of chapters, Zephaniah foretells about this looming judgment that was awaiting Judah if they didn't turn back to God. And he also sort of like predicted desolation and all of this kind of stuff. But what's really cool about these books is at the end, in chapter 3, God demonstrates how he gives the sinner what he doesn't deserve, and that is mercy. So Zephaniah writes about that there would be a day of hope when the remnant of Israel would come back under the Lord's protection to fulfil his promise when the people return to him. And there's a scripture in verses 14 to 17, and this is from the ESV, which says, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." And so what I'd kind of done was I joined up the fact that I'd been really, really impacted quite powerfully by this worship song, and referred back to this scripture where I knew that God was singing over me in a very powerful way. In the NIV, it says, "He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." The NLT says, he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. He will calm all your fears. And that's very much what I was experiencing through that song. All those fears were kind of calmed because of the song that was being sung over me. The message says, he's happy to have you back. He'll calm you with his love and delight you with his songs. And I think it's really, you know, we all know that we need to actively participate ourselves in song to the Lord. And, you know, in Psalm 100, it says, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. We know that stuff. But I think what I've learned from the Zephaniah scripture and from the experience of of how this song's impacted me over the last year is actually we need to be compelled to sing because he first sang. So before I knew him, he was singing over me, waiting for me to respond. And this is an ongoing process as we get to know God more over the years. So that scripture that was given to me when I was a new Christian, he'd been singing that even before that. And that's really, really exciting. And I think for me, in response to that, is then what I do is I sing back with praise and thankfulness because of what he's done in my life. So I have got 3 points because that's a cool thing to do. And I think there's 3 and we'll sing. So I don't know whether you have even ever considered that he actually sings over you in that way that I've experienced. Some of you may know this already or may have had a real testimony of that. But in Job 35, verse 9 to 10, it says, people cry out when they're oppressed. They groan beneath the power of the might, yet they don't ask, where is God, my creator, the one who gives songs in the night? So for me, this was really interesting because I think we do. We cry out to God, don't we, when we're in trouble, and we might groan and moan and all the rest of it. But actually, it's the wrong thing to be doing. We need to be going, oh God, what's your song you want to sing over me in this time? And I think that's really interesting. In Exodus 15 and verse 2, it says, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. So he is our song. So, you know, he does sing over us and we sing back to him. And Psalm 118 also says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Really, really important. And I suppose it's one of those things you have to kind of experience, don't you, to say, yeah, I did know he did that, but how does that happen? So just sort of hold that as a question. Have you considered the song that he sings over you? And then point number 2, do you know the song that is being sung over you? Because we know that, you know, there are different types of song. I listed all those different types of song for different occasions. I think there are songs that he sings over us when he is rejoicing, when he's cheering us on, when he's celebrating with us, when he's pleased with us. I think that there's a song of protection and comfort. And Psalm 42 and verse 8 says, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to God of the God of my life. I think there's a song that is a song when we're in battle, when we're needing to break through and we're needing to overcome. And I think for me, the song that I've had over my life over the course of these months has been about reaffirming my status in God and my salvation, and just strengthening me. But actually, probably you could say it's all of those things. Or it could just be simply that God is just singing a pure song of love over our lives. And Isaiah 5 talks about a song. It says, let me sing for my beloved, my song concerning his vineyard. It goes on to talk about my beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. So there's a song that God just sings over you because he loves you and he wants to be close to you and he wants you to know that. So that's really important that you recognise what that song is over your life. And also what I've realised, again, point 3 really, very quick points, these, is the song he sings over us, it changes as the seasons of life change. And Psalm 40 says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So for me, at that moment in time, God was doing a completely new thing. And it needed to be quite radical, and it needed to be that I was equipped to be able to respond and respond quickly to that new thing. So I think sometimes God does that. Actually, he needs you to be where he wants you to be. And you just need to be, I suppose, rested in a way that you know that that's what it is. So you're not faffing around for too long thinking about what you need to do. So you're equipped for the new season. So I think So for me, over the course of the year, I've realised that this song has been kind of enduring and kind of gone through. But it's got to the point where it's sort of almost done. So that song's done. So it's, I suppose it's therapeutic healing work that it's done, is done. And that's really great because now I absolutely know in my heart it was for freedom that Christ has set me free. The things that I was fearful of, the things that held me captive are dealt with and they're done. And I don't need to worry about them anymore. That doesn't mean I won't ever listen to the song again because it's an amazing, amazing song. But the work that it was doing in my life for that moment in time is done. So what I'm doing now is I'm listening out for what the next song's going to be because there'll be a new thing that God wants to show me and he might do that through a song. And, it, you know, we sing songs, don't we, that are written by writers straight from the heart of God, but it might be that God will sing words over you in a very different way. So I suppose my challenge is, just as an encouragement and on the back of, I suppose, my testimony from the course of this year is, like, over the course of the summer, really be listening to God to see what it is that he might want to be singing over you. I mean, New Wine is going to be a fantastic opportunity to do that in the worship times because we just get so much opportunity to just sit and listen, and that's going to be excellent. And then once you've found out what that song is, just really take hold of it. Maybe share it with somebody, but really let it root deep in your heart because the work that it will do will be amazing and it will be life-changing. Just as I think it has for me, I know I am different because I've got to grips with the words from that song and I'm just really excited about what it is that God is going to do next with the song. So that's it. Very short, but that's my testimony.